When I look in the mirror, what do I see? I see, well, it changed. It's grayer than I remember it. Yes, oh, I don't always like it anymore. Maybe I could, I don't know, have a different image. What about God? Do we make God in our own image, or is something else going on? Let's discuss our image of God on the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking this week. We've been talking this whole first part of 2019. We've kind of been looking at church and how we relate to God and things like that. And so in this episode, I want to talk about the idea of the image of God and what does it mean to worship God, or what is God like, and have we created God in our image? And that's a thing that we oftentimes may hear, or some people may say that, well, man created God, created the idea of God because he needed something to explain that which he couldn't explain. And so we create God in our image and then say, well, we're in the image of God, but obviously we're in the image of God because we created him in our image. And so just that whole idea of, well, have we? And is that what's going on in the Bible? Is this a case of us creating God in our own image and we're making him up? This is a whole fantasy and let's pretend and some sort of myth or wish fulfillment to make ourselves feel better. Because there are plenty of people who that's how they understand or think of God. They think this is all just very made up. I've got friends. I've had friends that's their take. That's their understanding of what's going on. And that can be, if you're looking to not believe in God, then that could be even a comforting thought. That this is just some fairy tale like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. And I'm sorry if I just ruined your day on that one. But could that be it? That would be a comforting thought if you really want to disregard all the different teachings or the idea that maybe you would have some accountability. So let's talk about that. Let's examine that idea here. If we're going to analyze this idea, then I guess what we need to do is say, well, is this what we would create to feel better? Because if the concept, if the accusation is we have created God in our image to help us and to be some sort of crutch, well, then there should be certain signs of that. And indeed, if you look at gods that maybe have a greater track record of being obviously made up, some of the gods of old that kind of came and went, for instance, the Greek and Roman gods, you see certain tendencies, certain traits in them. They are very human. Very, very human. In fact, many of them take human characteristics and emphasize one of them or a couple of them. And they acted very, very human. They had drama with each other. They were lustful. They were jealous. They were always fighting. They were very capricious. They kind of did whatever they felt like. All that. So, well, that would make sense. So they are very much like humans. So, and many times, the stories that were told about the gods. You know, it was humans trying to outwit, maneuver God. So, all right, well, that'd be an argument for God made in the image of man, that God created by man. But is that what we see in the Bible? Well, what we see in the Bible is actually quite different, especially if you really read it. I mean, if you want to grab any one little thing and say, well, that's the whole thing, well, then maybe, but that's an incomplete picture. Because the God in the Bible, well, one thing, he if you read the whole way through, he's never designed to make us happy. At no point does he get outsmarted. And one of the things you see, and one of the things that some people say, well, the God in the Old Testament, well, he's like those other Greek gods. He's capricious and he's vengeful and all that. Except he's not. That's when people say that, like, the God in the Old Testament is an angry, vengeful God. Well, then they're not reading the whole thing, and they're not reading it carefully. Is there some anger and vengeance in the Old Testament? Well, yeah. But if you read the whole thing, one of the things that's interesting, and of course you have to read the prophets. And when you read the prophets are calling out the fact that God's people had rebelled, had turned on him, had been unfaithful to him, and he's upset because of how they have betrayed him. And yet, even then, it's not just, okay, so I'm going to wipe you out. Instead, the first thing he does is he warns them. In fact, he'd warned them before it ever happened. He said, listen, I'm going to call you to this, and I want to bless you, and as long as you stay faithful, I will bless you. But if you turn away and abandon me, then I'm going to bring discipline. And you're going to lose your security, and you're going to have consequences. Not unlike a parent, not unlike things I tell my own children. And of course they do, and they do in a big way. I mean, it's not like minor technical violations. I mean, out and out just cheating on him. And so he does finally say, but then he warns them. He says, he warns them. And even a couple times, you know, they kind of go through, I'm sorry, and then they just cheat again. And so if you read, yeah, you see anger, but there's more than that. For instance, the book of Hosea, which is one of the prophets. And Hosea, God says, Hosea, I'm going to use your life to illustrate what's going on here. And so Hosea, and whether she started out like this or she became like this, either way, she runs away for a life of prostitution and becomes like a sex slave. And Hosea goes and finds her, and he can't just go get her and bring her home. He has to pay for her, even though it's his wife. He has to pay for her. And he pays for her and brings her back and continues to restore her. And God says, that's me. I'm not just mad. I mean, I want you back. You've been cheating on me, and I'm going to pay to bring you back. Now that's different than just vengeful. That's hurt. That's consequences for a bad action. But then there's hope. And there is not one prophet, not one, that did not include a message of hope. And so it's not just an angry God. It's an angry God that says, I am eager to forgive you. I am eager to restore you, and I'm going to. And he's saying that even though they're not showing any signs of recovery. He says, I'm going to actually bring you back around because I care. And no matter how much you betray me, I'm going to restore you. Now that's really different, isn't it? And it's also consistent with when we get to the New Testament and Peter says, hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone? 70? Or 7 times? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. In other words, yeah, you forgive. And of course, Jesus says, it's because you messed up, I'm going to buy you back. just like Hosea bought his wife back, I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to pay for you. Well, that's really, really different. That's not like what we do at all. I mean, and the New Testament makes that point. He says, well, for like the perfect guy, someone might be willing to die. But we were as far from perfect as possible, and God was willing to die for us. In other words, he wasn't like a human at all. And that's consistent in the Old and New Testament. That he's very, very different. And then he doesn't just make us feel better. In fact, he calls us. And when Jesus was on earth, you know, hey, well, if you're going to create Jesus, and a lot of people think of Jesus, oh, he was just so nice, and he walked around, he just loved, love, 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 love. But that's not who he was. In fact, some people tried to join him, and he talked them out of it by telling them how hard it was going to be. He reminded them that he was homeless. He reminded they didn't have a place to stay. He told his disciples, you know, they hate me and they're going to hate you, dude. And they're going to kill me and they'll try to kill you, man. Hardly a seductive sales pitch. And so all the way through here, we see a God that, and now he tells us, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Well, where's the fun in that? Well, it's not fun. And so all the way through, we see a God that is not the kind of God that, he's not the kind of God I'd make up. And he teaches some things that I don't like. And there are people who even now are offended by some of the things that the Bible teaches. And they say, well, that's just wrong. Well, if you want to make something up, well, then obviously you're going to make something up and you're going to cut out the parts that you don't like. But think about how much sense that makes. Imagine you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, here, your cholesterol's high and you've got a spot of melanoma on your shoulder. And so we need to bring down your cholesterol and we need to remove that melanoma. And you say, actually, the melanoma, well, it's more, I think of it as a beauty spot, and I like fried chicken. I like deep fried food. And so I'm just going to cut this part out of your report, doctor. Well, you wouldn't do that. You could say, well, I don't like it. I don't like your diagnosis. I don't like what you're telling me. But it doesn't matter whether I like it or not. But so often, the God of the Bible, we say, I don't like what you're saying, so let's reinterpret it. Let's cut it out. And then we are turning God into our own image. And we're turning God into someone who tells us what we want to hear. But when I read the Bible, I read a book that is not telling me what I want to hear. It does not flatter me. It is not what I would make up. In fact, it says even those who want to be leaders should be the biggest servants of all. So this isn't even what someone else would use to promote themselves. Now, many people have grabbed the Bible and tried to promote themselves, but they can only do it by ignoring what the Bible actually says and how the Bible actually describes God. So think about that, because maybe you're busy trying to create a God that you can be comfortable with. But maybe you should read the Bible and say, what does the Bible really say? What has God said? And it's not what man would say. But sometimes that's where the truth lies. So think about that and examine that today.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.